Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right, too. It's Volume 5 of Inspired On Air. We continue bringing you the very best of the very best festival in many ways. Already in the studio, we have the author of The Land Ships of Lincoln. That would be field archaeologist extraordinaire Richard Pullen. How are you, Richard?
Not too bad, thank you.
Welcome to Inspired On Air. Good to see you. We'll be talking about, obviously, what you'll be doing for the Inspired On Air and, indeed, Lincoln Inspired this coming Sunday, the 11th of May, where you'll actually be presenting a wonderful thing called Land Ships between 2:30 and 3:30 p.m. at the Lincoln Drill Hall.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, very exciting. We've got the return of Holly Parker. Holly, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, Holly, it's fair to say you're one of the, as Sarah Bullimer would say, the lovely assistant helpers, production associates. How have you found the festival so far?
I haven't actually been to anything yet, but I'm looking forward to... I'm going to something on Friday and Saturday.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
So it's good. It's really good.
It'll be fine. The buzz is positive. We were lucky enough to be actually hosting Siren FM Presents yesterday, which actually launched the festival at 3 o'clock up at the fabulous Bookstop Cafe in Steep Hill. Oh, actually, it is in Steep Hill, quite literally, if you sort of... As I found when I was checking out where the whole thing was, with Geoff Gainey and so on. Catherine Feeney, Jenny Finch, Robert Nichols and Michael Blackburn were in conversation with myself, and it was fantastic. And actually, here's one for you: the whole thing is now online and available for download. So if you weren't there, Holly, or indeed Richard, you can actually download it and listen to the whole discussion thing there, including barking dogs and cups of tea clinking and a whole range of other folk and some very loud poets. It was wonderful. Anyway, what else is happening on the show today? We will be speaking to Geoff Gainey, because Geoff indeed is the owner of the Bookstop Cafe and one of the key supporters of Lincoln Inspired, along with many other key supporters, of course. We mentioned there once again, but we got the Priory Academy, LSST, Bishop Grosseteste University, The Collection, Cafe Portico, Lincoln Drill Hall, Development Plus, Lincolnshire Echo, Lincolnshire Live, Waterstones, the Bootham Park Restoration Project, and a whole heap of others, which we will mention as well. We're also talking to Ray Piper, the co-artistic director of the Chantry Dance Company, and John Gerald, our ace literary agent. So there we have it. It's science fiction, it's tanks, it's dance, it's coffee. Musically speaking, what do you think we should actually go for? I mean, this is a tough call, a bit of on-air production. Richard, any particular sort of theme, musically speaking, you think we should actually officially launch with?
Oh, I don't know. What a subject.
Yeah, I know.
Could be anything, couldn't it? Anything could fit in with that lot, surely.
It could, quite literally. I'm tempted to think, as he actually launched the festival again last night, maybe just a tad of Elliot Morris, what do you think? He's one of the patrons of the whole thing, so do you say that might be possibility now? Should we go a war theme with The Great Escape, or should we go A Matter of Time? What do you think?
Put me on the spot.
I know, yeah, exactly. You didn't expect this.
I don't think you'd go wrong with The Great Escape, can you?
Well, no, except obviously this one doesn't have any Steve McQueen in whatsoever. And indeed, very little Elliot Morris as well, come to that. Here he comes. He was very tired. It was a long event last night. It's Inspired On Air, Lincoln Inspired on Siren 107.3 FM. Okay, Lincoln Inspired on tour, Inspired On Air on tour, actually, and I have finally made that journey up the hill, or down the hill, depending on where you actually park the car, to Geoff Gainey's place. It's known as the Bookstop Cafe. Geoff, fantastic event you've got here, fantastic location.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's a lot historic as well as pleasant. You know, people can just sit here and chill and read a nice book while being in a building that's very old, nearly 1,000 years old, so it's plenty of atmosphere.
Absolutely, it's nearly 750 years longer than the United States of America have been in existence.
Ah, well, yes, I'm not that old either.
Now, obviously, we're here today as part of the Lincoln Inspired Festival. It's Siren FM Presents, our favourite authors. Obviously, Geoff, you are one of our favourite authors, so just to sort of acknowledge the fact that, yeah, otherwise we would have had you in the chair with Jenny Finch, Robert Nichols, Catherine Feeney, and, of course, Michael Blackburn. But it's just a case of we felt you couldn't sort of do treble duties, author and cafe scenarios as well.
No, unfortunately. I would love to have several arms and several minds to be able to do all those things in one go.
Like a creature in the cloud, walkers, etc. It's not the cloud walkers. The first text, of course, is
sleeping on the cloud.
Precisely. Sarah Bullimore is currently sort of just getting herself sort of ready and psyched up for the whole thing. I've already met Jenny Finch, who is actually having a little Italian en route, a little Italian restaurant. So she's going to be joining us. What are you expecting this afternoon for the first official event within the Lincoln Inspired 2014 event scenario?
Well, hopefully lots of people who appreciate literature and see why we've set this up, you know, with books and tea and cakes, you know, so that they can enjoy the atmosphere.
Now, a few weeks ago, I've got to confess, Josh, you probably already know this in terms of the things. We did a full location report at Linden Books. We haven't done that at the Bookstop Cafe as yet, but they did say that they don't see it in any way, shape or form as competition. It's actually very exciting that Lincoln has got, over the last year, two brand new booksellers actually opening up.
Yes, I've met them. They're friends now. It's lovely to help each other, to be honest with you. I call this sort of thing the Mutual Appreciation Society. There's not enough of us.
It's good to see that even Waterstones actually supports the whole system through, which is marvellous there. He's got a shameless plug. Talk us through what you've got here, because, I mean, it strikes me as a kind of almost Aladdin's cave, if I'm not going into a sort of Middle Eastern line here. I mean, you said obviously the building is 1,000 years old. What sort of, describe for the listener what we have.
Well, if you were to Google it, you would call it the Norman House. It was built by the Normans, and this is the undercroft to the main building, main dwelling, which is basically their cellar. They would have stored grain in that time. But over 1,000 years, it's probably been many, many things.
Mm. Absolutely. We'll have to find a time machine to the fore. And there's something quite unique about the text that you got here, because we call it the Bookstop Cafe, not because it's just a case of, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. What's the kind of philosophy that you have here?
The philosophy is to help local and independent authors get their books into the world, get their books onto a shelf, because otherwise they don't. It's very difficult to do.
Like Nikki Wells.
Such as Nikki Wells, yes, and Dylan Morrison. You know, it's a struggle for everybody. And myself, being in the same boat, this venue came available and I thought, that's the idea to do it, to help those people get their books out there. Yes. And for people to read as well, obviously, enjoy them.
Precisely. For those people who are considering making a trip to Lincoln, it's a must-attend place. Website, Geoff?
Yes, it's thebookstopcafe.com. That has all the authors on there. It has everything we're doing. It's got the Inspired event on there. People can just click on bookstopcafe.com and have a look, see what's coming up.
And just share with us from a point of view of the perspective of a consumer of the Lincoln Inspired setup. Are there any kind of events that you'd like to sort of say, oh, I quite like that, I would like to go to that?
If I had time, I would like to go to the mall, because I enjoy the art.
Good answer.
Yeah, I enjoy, love it. Life is, you know, to be savoured.
Geoff, that's a wonderful sort of answer in which you could say everything, really, which is marvellous. So hopefully we'll see you in the not-too-distant future back in the studio again.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
Splendid. A little pre-record there, which we did with the owner of the Bookstop Cafe, Geoff Gainey, of course, owner and indeed author, who gave us the right answer. He wants to attend everything, and quite rightly so too. In the studio, we have the author, of course, of the amazing, wonderful Landships of Lincoln. That's field archaeologist Richard Pullen. And Richard, what we're looking at is called connectivity between the whole thing. You were very impressed because you actually said, well, actually there was a dance made for tanks in the First World War. And it was called?
It was very popular at the time. It was called El Tanco.
El Tanco.
Latin American sort of tango sort of thing. I've never seen it performed. Yeah, but
I think Ray Piper, co-artistic director of the fabulous, the amazingly wonderful Chantry Dance Company, that's a challenge, Ray. El Tanco for Lincoln.
El Tanco?
Yes. you weren't expecting that to be our opening gambit, but there we are.
You see, I wasn't really, but yeah. It's already started ideas in my mind, and I'm actually thinking, you know, could this be made to work with something else?
Yeah, precisely, because if anybody can do it, the Chantry Dance Company will create a modern ballet with tanks. I think
I'll have a word with Paul about it and see what he says, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, precisely. Friday the 9th of May, not only have we got the Musical Angels of Lincoln Cathedral, not only have you got the big Booth and Bear Hunt, William Sitwell, of course, with 4,000 years in 2,000 seconds and a word in edgeways, but really at the heart of the whole thing, from 10 a.m. through to 12 noon at the Lincoln Drill Hall, a workshop on creating your own dream dance. Tanks possibly could be in there. Modern ballet dance on the theme of dreams in a lively work in a lively workshop, and then of course we have the Sandman and Dream Dance plus Q&A at Lincoln Drill Hall between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. We're working you very hard, Ray.
Oh, well, we're used to it. We're dancers, you know.
Yeah, but and also phenomenally fit to actually do it, because people often say, well, modern ballet, what do we actually work through there? But I mean, the levels of fitness quite phenomenal, really.
It is difficult, yeah. I mean, we have to train every single day, and we normally spend at least an hour and a half taking class and just doing exercises before even starting our rehearsals, and then rehearsals can go on for 5 or 6 hours. So, yeah, I guess it's pretty demanding.
Yeah. Holly Parker, have you ever considered contemporary ballet when you weren't doing your English degree and such like? You were sort of thinking, yes, it's going contemporary dance and so on.
I don't think everyone is gifted as a dancer, and I'm certainly not one of the people who is.
on the other hand, you are in one of the country's amazingly wonderful barbershop quartets.
Yes, I'm in. So,
a little shout out for them. They are
Main Street Sound,
or Sing Out from that point of view. So I'm sure you'll be connecting with that. Questions for Ray from the Chantry Dance Company. Anything that springs to mind from your own point of view, Holly?
You're saying that you're performing a dance inspired by the audience's ideas in your workshop.
Dreams, I think. Theme of dreams.
Yeah. Is that, will other people's ideas be
dreams can be so scary. I mean, you've got your Freud on the one hand, and then, as we just said, we've got Richard's tanks. I think, you know, in terms of that, just addressing it, what's the sort of strategy? Because to actually put together a modern ballet, you know, in terms of that workshop to create a dream dance, can be quite phenomenal, unless, of course, you have them in still motion, perhaps.
Well, what we're actually going to do in the workshop part, we're going to guide the participants through the process. So rather than just sort of allowing anything to happen, we're going to try and ask specific questions to the participants and help them create something together so that they also have a sense of cohesion about the piece. We're going to ask them some really specific questions about dreams or nightmares or tanks. The answers which they give to those questions, we will then use later in the day at the performance to help us when we're doing the dream dance improvisation. So what that will actually be is, for example, they will have written down on a piece of paper the answer to one of the questions. So maybe one of the questions is, if you were having a lovely dream, where would you be? And they might put the beach, for example. I don't know what they would put, but maybe this. So on the little piece of paper, it says the beach. We would pick that up and read it and then take that as our stimulus for improvising dance around that idea.
So
if that
can
makes
you,
any sense.
Yes. So can you prepare for that at all? It sounds like something that's really difficult to try and...
No, you can't. In the performance, we've got two things. We've got the Sandman piece, which is a pre-choreographed piece, and that's choreographed by Gail Gordon, who's a West End choreographer, so we're very lucky to have her, actually. And that's about a 12-minute piece. So that's all been prepared. We've rehearsed that, spent hours on it, et cetera, et cetera. But the dream dance improvisation is completely spontaneous, and we're simply just working off the stimuli which we'll find on the pieces of paper which the participants from the workshop earlier on have written. So who knows what will come out? I'm not sure.
It's that level of excitement that actually just keeps the whole thing interesting and enlightening in every sense of the word. I'm just thinking jetés, pas de deux. This is suitable for ages 11 to adults. And then actually, Ray, you have all levels of danceability. Isn't that a bit of a hostage to fortune? I cite myself as an example of somebody who might do the occasional dad dance. But goodness, you know, I mean, it could be. I mean, I don't know, Richard. All levels of danceability.
I mean, I'm not known for my dancing. I'll say that much. No, you know. I don't think I'll do. Yeah.
Dance of the field archaeologists. It's a possibility.
Could be. Yeah, yeah. Could be.
Dig, douche, dig, push, dig, scrub, brush. But, I mean, Ray, that is quite, as Holly's just said, that's very ambitious. Or is it a case of where you would hope that most people will have some sort of coordinated sort of structure when they actually come up with a dance move?
Do you know what? It doesn't matter if you consider yourself as somebody who can't dance. If you can listen to music or respond to an idea, you can dance. Because dance is intrinsic in all of us. It doesn't have to be something that's very formalized. It doesn't have to be technical classical ballet. Dance is just responding physically to an idea. So in that respect, anybody can dance. And it's not going to be wrong. That's the other thing. It's actually, unless you're learning a really specific dance technique, you can't be wrong when you're dancing. And we just really want to encourage everybody. We want to be completely inclusive and say to anybody, do you know what? Come along, have a go. It's all going to be your own work. It's going to be your own ideas. We're there to help. We're here to guide you and, you know, provide support. But don't worry if you've never done a dance step in your life. If you don't know a pas de char from a pas de bourrée, just come along and give it a go. And The great thing is because it is mixed level, we'll have everybody in the group will be supporting each other. So we're all in it together. It's there's no judgment or competition involved. It's about journeying together to create something.
It's the flying jetés that always sort of give me concern, cause a concern, but never mind.
concern for a lot of people.
Well, precisely. Holly, does that sort of appeal to you? Do you think you might take up this challenge and actually sort of take part in this workshop?
I think I'll stick to singing.
I just think it's fantastic.
Oh, Holly.
I know, exactly. Richard, you know, you were looking for events on the thing to actually work through. I mean, I sense this could be an ideal preparation for your Sunday session with the Landships of Lincoln.
It does sound wonderful, and as you say, dance is a universal thing, yeah. Isn't it? You just get out there and enjoy yourself, really. Yeah.
Dancing to the music of time. Children of the cosmos. Children of the universe. Oh, that's our Eurovision Song Contest entry. Never mind, we'll play that later. Perhaps not. If you really... No. I can't believe, Ray, that this is a mere £5 or £3 concessions to actually take part in this. Plus, if you actually take part in the Create Your Own Dream Dance workshop between 10 a.m. and 12 noon at Lincoln Drill Hall, then you actually get free entrance to the Sandman and Dream Dance following that at 1 p.m. through 2 p.m. And that gives you like 1 hour, 3,600 seconds to kind of warm down and then warm up again. It's phenomenal. What's your secret?
I have no idea, actually. I'm going to say something really cheesy. Probably just the love of dance is
nice.
My secret.
Yeah, that's good. A few plugs for other folk who are actually coming. You mentioned, obviously, Paul, who's with us as well. Gail Gordon as well, from that perspective. Any other sort of members you'd like to sort of say? And just talk to us a little bit about how people who might be listening to this, maybe via podcast, maybe actually after the event has actually sort of passed us by, etc., at different times, how can they actually find out about the Chantry Dance Company?
Well, Chantry Dance Company, we have our own website. Of course, we do in the digital age. Very exciting. So Chantry Dance Company is at www.chantrydancecompany.org. And Chantry, if you don't know how to spell it, is C-H-A-N-T-R-Y. So we have our own website. And obviously, when we're performing on Friday, please do just come along and have a chat with us, even if you're not going to take part in the workshop, if you want to find out a little bit more. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Chantry Dance, so you can follow our adventures there. But we're very much looking forward to it. So the team on Friday is going to be myself and Paul, who will be leading the workshop and then the performance. Paul Chantry is a wonderful, wonderful dancer and choreographer. He's performed all over the place at Sadler's Wells, at English National Opera. Just fantastic. So I'm really lucky to be dancing with him. And then, as you said, Gail Gordon as well, who some people may know because she was head of dance at the Bristol Vic Theatre School for 30 years, and she's just left there to come and work with us. Yay!
Yeah. Right, she recognised the importance of talent there. And I'm thinking about Paul's son, Paul Chantry, chanteuse, singer. I think it's Destiny, Holly. I think you should be there.
Sing at the same time, Holly.
Yeah, you sing and dance. Yeah. Exactly. Before too long, it'd be tap dancing away there to be our reason. When we had a brief chat beforehand, Ray, we talked about sort of music and we talked about various other things. You said classical. Well, I'm going to give you a choice in terms of this, because it's interesting in terms of Mr. Computer. Interesting choice here. We can offer you either Peter Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. Oh, classic, you know. Or excerpt from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. Where would you like to go?
Oh, I'm going to go with Mozart.
You know, I think that's excellent. Stay with us. We'll be back with you with further details after a little dash of Wolfgang Amadeus. So you don't really want to talk over the end of that, do you? I mean, you could, but it just would be sacrilege. And Ray would have been very upset. Did you enjoy that, Ray Piper?
I did enjoy that. Thank you very much.
Still a nice sort of morning feel to the whole system. Still to come on the programme, we're going to be speaking to our fantastic literary agent, John Gerald, who's taking part in the Battle of the Genres debate, and also offering a variety of opportunities for young budding writers to actually have a one-to-one writer's surgery. I think one or two places still available for that. But if people are actually listening to Ray Piper from the Chantry Dance Company talking about workshopping creating your own dream dancing, the Sandman Dream Dance. Holly, how do they get in touch with Lincoln Inspired?
You can go on our website, lincolninspired.co.uk, or we also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account.
Exactly. Ray, have you liked us on Facebook and Twitter?
I hope I have.
Oh, well, very critical for Holly. A little reminder, of course, raypiper.net is another website you can also access details about the fabulously talented Ray Piper. A couple of final questions, Ray. Have you been looking at the brochure? Are there any sort of areas or events that you look at and you think, oh, I wish I'd quite like to go to that, or if I wasn't actually busy with that, I'd go to that. What from the event itself or the festival itself kind of has caught your eye?
Well, to be honest, anything with creative writing involved, mm-hmm. If I wasn't a dancer, here we go, .. If I wasn't a dancer, I really love poetry, and I wish I was actually better at writing it. So anything to do with poetry or writing short stories. But, I mean, there's just so many different events to choose from,
exactly.
Isn't there?
Well, Ray, and even that, a lot of the goodies are also online. As we said, the event yesterday where we had our very own resident poet, Michael Blackburn, in conversation with us at the Bookstop Cafe, that you can actually download the whole thing. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. So it's a big, chunky podcast, but it is actually there, so you can find out about that. So you see, we've done that for you, Ray, and folk who couldn't quite get to Lincoln. It's important. Ray, it's been fabulous connecting with your good self this morning. Thank you very much for the connections that so we're walking through that. A reminder, it's workshop Create Your Own Dream Dance at the Lincoln Drill Hall on Friday the 9th of May, and then Sandman and Dream Dance following very shortly afterwards between 1 and 2 p.m. I'll ask those last two questions. It's a different show that I normally put this together, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on Inspired On Air?
It's been great to chat to you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
So, as Sue North is waiting to actually come into the studio as well, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
I do hope so. It would be lovely.
A round of applause for Ray, please.
Yay! Thank you. I'm doing a curtsy.
Splendid. Inspire, breathe out, expire. Put them both together and you respire. And keep that Krebs citric acid cycle going as well to give us that energy that we need to keep Lincoln Inspired on air, because that's what you're listening to, Inspired on Air. We've been joined in the studio by one of the fabulous team from the festival, of course, 'Tis Sue North. How are you, Sue?
Hello, Alex. I'm fine, thank you. Excellent. Busy, busy, busy. There's a festival on, apparently.
Yes. Okay, well, good. Yeah, just about from that. Still have the fabulous Holly Parker with us. And, of course, the author of Land Ships of Lincoln, the amazingly talented field archaeologist Richard Pullen. Excellent. But I think that last piece we did with Ray about the El Tanco, it's a dance we should be considering seriously.
Definitely.
As a festival dance. A festival dance.
Yes.
If nothing else. Already gearing up for the fabulous Battle of the Genres, we have ace literary agent John Jarrold, who's online now. John, how are you?
I'm very well, Alex. You?
Well, this is volume 5 of Inspired On Air, before we actually go to the final volume tomorrow, which will take place from the Lincolnshire Showground, and it's the big BG Breakfast tweet-up with Bishop Chris Test, Georgia Twynham, Nick Roberts, obviously Amelia Highfield, a whole heap of other goodies there, and we'll be transmitting live from that. Paul Money is actually going to be coming along to keep us astronomically bound as well, so it's a great stuff as far as that's concerned. And there's still more festival days to go, because we're kind of building, John, to obviously the big scenario where you join in yourself with the science fiction and fantasy panel on the event for Friday the 9th of May, 7:15 p.m. Lincoln Drill Hall, the room upstairs. As we've said before, you've got the creator of Akak Macaque.
Yep.
Surely somebody who's much loved by any, and if he isn't, he certainly should be. That's Gareth L. Powell, the creator of aforementioned Akak Macaque, Mark Sharon Newton from Drakenfield, and of course David Barnett from Gideon Smith and the Mechanical Girls. So it's a science fiction and fantasy panel. Before, of course, the following morning, presumably you're just staying overnight then, John, just to see your bags there.
Yeah, I live in Lincoln, so I shall not be sleeping in the drill room, I have to admit.
That's the Battle of the Genres, in which the wonderful Jill Hart will be basically taking the referee's mantle between yourself for science fiction, Simon Scarrow from the perspective of the historical fiction, and of course Ellie Griffiths, who was on and Inspired On Air yesterday. And if, John, you've been out and about and you've been missing Inspired On Air, we won't sort of blame you in any way, shape or form. We will simply remind you that you can download all of the Inspired On Air shows from the relevant podcasts and things from that point of view. Just simply go to sirenonline.co.uk, and under Inspired, Lincoln Inspired, you can get all of these shows. So you see, there's no excuse, John, to not sort of take part in that whole thing.
You can find us anywhere.
Well, quite literally, and probably we want to. John, I'm going to put this question to you initially in terms of time in general, the time machine, and obviously tanks and Lincoln. As I say, one of the things about the Siren Studios is that we are actually based within the University of Lincoln, which is built, as we rightly said, Richard, on the place where they used to test the tanks in World War One.
That's right, yeah, very close to, yeah. The railway line used to run straight across the university site here, where they used to take the tanks from the factory out to France. So, yeah, this is right in the middle of Tank Town. Yeah.
Tank Town. Wouldn't that be so much more wonderful? It's Tank Tank Girl, Tank Town, etc. Because I'm thinking, John, surely this... I mean, if we haven't already had lots of literature, I'm not talking steampunk here, but surely, you know, this is something where there's lots of inspiration in terms of possible narratives for this one, John. Or is it just a case of some people attempt to do it, but they just don't succeed in putting those two things together? Tanks, science fiction, and so on.
I think the thing is that it's a very broad church, science fiction, and alternate history is certainly one of the parts of it. So whether you're talking about the First World War, the Second World War, Napoleon, anything else, you can use that. One of the authors I used to publish, Guy Gabriel Kay, always takes an historical period and then uses an analogue of that so he can mix it about. He's not sort of in a straitjacket of having to deal with absolute history. He can play around with things and see how that affects the world, how it affects the history and the characters.
Let's talk a little bit about the Landships of Lincoln. This is told, Richard, from the perspective of the workers in Lincoln who created the new machines. Just share with us what your kind of philosophy in terms of putting this book together was.
Well, that's right, yeah. My grandfather actually worked at William Foster and Company Limited in Lincoln, who created the first tanks. So it's always been a sort of family interest. So I started collecting material and photographs, and before I knew what was happening, I had so much. People kept saying to me, "Oh, you should write a book about that." So in the end, I did, and that's it. So it does. It just tells the story of the tanks creation here in Lincoln by a small agricultural company who had not really done anything military up until that point.
John, questions for Richard that you want to throw in at this particular stage. Anything you want to do about First World War tanks? Richard is your boy.
Well, I'm fascinated because, A, I'm of the Airfix kit generation, so of course I made models.
I'll just test that, actually. Sue, if we say that term, Airfix kit generation, does it kind of resonate with yourself? It
certainly does.
Yeah? Holly?
Not really.
No, no. See, there you have it. It's like a the Airfix kit generation. Oh,
my
the
brother
smell
had them,
of it.
So,
oh,
well, you know.
It's true. It's very true. Anyway, sorry, John, your question.
Basically, I'm just very interested to know, was there a particular reason that this happened in Lincoln?
It's a very good question, and it does seem quite unlikely that the world's first tank was invented in Lincoln. But the manufacturers, Foster's in Lincoln, they had experience of working with tracked vehicles, and they wanted somewhere quiet, out of the way. If one of the big manufacturers had done it, the German spies who were supposedly everywhere would have found out about it. But somewhere small and quiet and fairly anonymous, like Foster's in Lincoln, they could get away with creating this thing and no one would notice.
That makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
It's the old quiet ones you have to watch all the time, isn't it? How often we've said those words. Never mind. Sue, tanks and landships. I mean, obviously this is part of actually an afternoon of events which focuses on the 100th anniversary of the start of the First World War on Sunday the 11th of May. Not only that, we have Alan Mallinson, who actually acts as your warm-up act in many ways, Richard.
I don't know about that.
So we are. Fight the Good Fight, 1914. His vivid, compelling and rigorously researched new book shows how Britain stumbled into war in August 1914. But, you know, as part of that... So is this the sort of thing which you think this is quite interesting, or is it a case of, I wish we would just forget these anniversaries, you know?
I don't think we should forget these anniversaries at all, particularly the First World War. It's a very emotive anniversary, and it's something that I think needs to be brought to the attention of younger generations, because we have been quite lucky in this country in recent years. We haven't lived through a full-on war that's really involved the civilian population. I know we have had actions where our armies have been and other forces have been involved, but something like this that really sort of overtook society as a whole, we haven't lived through. And it had a tremendous impact. You know, it wiped out a generation of young men. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to remember that sometimes, because obviously the past informs the decisions that we make today.
Holly.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think that I agree with what Sue was saying, but also the fact that it's engaging children in our cultural history, as well as affecting our society on a whole, it means that the children are more likely to learn tolerance of other people as well by learning the pain and suffering that we have the potential to endure and where we've come from, how we've developed.
And John, would you echo those sentiments, or would you again take the line of saying that it's just important to know where we've come from, to know where we're going, and so on?
Yeah, basically, it's that great quote: "Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it." Mm-hmm. And basically, personally speaking, both of my grandfathers fought in the First World War. My father and all my uncles fought in the Second World War. So I heard a lot about that. I also, when I was 11, watched the great BBC series The Great War over 26 weeks. My father said to me, "You should watch this," and he was absolutely right. It's something. It's one of the great seminal events of the 20th century, and history is fascinating in all its areas, and war is sadly, in some ways, one of the major areas.
So let's move on to Lincoln Inspired, which obviously is taking that as part of the whole thing, but and it is an important side of things. John, what events, from your own perspective, have you thought, that looks good, that stood out, this is the one that I would like to actually have been to go and see, or would like to recommend and plug? What's the John Jarrell recommendations for the 2014 Lincoln Inspired Festival?
Well, apart from the stuff that people would sadly have to put up with me in, Irving Finkel's...
Goes without saying, surely.
Irving Finkel's Ark Before Noah. I've seen Irving appear on television, British Museum expert. Absolutely fascinating man. And then obviously Noah's Ark myth goes back long before Christian Church into Babylonian history and before that. So in the Gilgamesh myth. So that's a very interesting thing. And that's 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Exactly.
That's certainly one that I would recommend.
Decoding the Story of the Flood, and we talk about cuneiform writing, we talk about a whole heap of other things. Irving Finkel is actually joining us on the airwaves of Sorin FM this very day, Wednesday. Where are we? The days are just bleeding into one another. 7th of May. It's the 7th of May, that's right.
Yes,
and you can listen to Irving in conversation with myself and the rest of the team on the Midweek Drive. And if you can't get there, it's always available as a podcast. So great stuff there.
I must just say that we're really lucky to have Irving, because he's coming to Lincoln as a sort of precursor to appearances at some of the big festivals throughout the summer.
This is a small but perfectly formed festival.
Absolutely.
Which is getting bigger each year.
Yes, and you know, we're lucky to have him, because once I'm sure the Channel 4 programme goes out, where he's going to be talking about this and actually rebuilding the Ark. You know, we're just really lucky to have got him, I think.
And it's much more beneficial for Channel 4 than another series of Big Brother. But that's just my point entirely. Yeah. Where do you actually go with respect to that? Perhaps more embarrassing bodies? No, please. Excellent choice, John. Let's turn to Richard. Your thoughts in terms of events you'd like to go to? Obviously, apart from John Gerald's, which needs to say, clearly.
Enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm hoping to get along to the Viking Day at the Collection on Thursday the 8th of May. That sounds fascinating. Guided tour of the archaeological gallery, under five story time, all sorts of things going on.
And Giles Christian, top author.
That's right.
Historical fiction author, does fabulous sort of things from that. Holly would have been there, but she's off on a Georgian event.
Yeah. But I know I'm going to get taken along by my kids to the Doctor Who Make Your Own Monster event on Saturday the 10th.
What's not to love with a Doctor Who Make Your Own Monster?
And I'm going to pretend I'm not enjoying myself, but I will, yeah.
Exactly. And don't forget the bookstore. The bottom line is, there is so much as far as Lincoln Inspired is concerned. How do they get in touch or find out about Lincoln Inspired stuff, Holly?
You can go to lincolninspired.co.uk, look at our Facebook page or our Twitter page.
Now, we still have two tickets available as prizes, competition prizes, for Irving Finkel. I'll say that again, John Gerald. We still have two tickets available as prizes for the fabulous Irving Finkel event that we've just been speaking about, that has the recommendation of John Gerald, this coming Saturday at the Drill Hall. Do you know how you actually get those tickets, how you actually apply to get those tickets? Well, all you need to do is ask the following question. When we had district herbalist Hannah Sylvester on the show yesterday, I actually came up with one thing you should never, ever eat at all. It was one particular plant, all right, it was a tree, but you should never actually eat of the fruit of or at all in any way, shape or form. We just want the answer to that. That's basically it. Now, if you want to find out what the answer is, you can listen back. And you can get two tickets. Does that not sound like a fair deal, John Gerald?
Absolutely.
Just simply write to us, sirenonline.co.uk, or indeed the aforementioned links for Lincoln Inspired, or on Facebook, or indeed hashtag Lincoln Inspired, with your own details, and just tell us what that particular branch of flora actually was. Have two tickets. You'd have to collect them, obviously, at the Drill Hall, because the Postal Service forgets, not going to get there in time. But, you know, we're still running that, so there's a possibility you might just go for that. And, John, in terms of the Battle of the Genres, are you doing exercises to limber up? I mean, we were talking earlier, obviously, with Ray Piper, the co-artistic director of the Chantry Dance Company, and, a bit of sort of limbering up exercises to actually... what's the motivation for that? Are you all set to actually wipe the floor with Ellie Griffiths and Simon Scarra?
Oh, it's 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, and then the other eyelid.
Nice.
No, as I've said before, can't we all get along, please? People should read what they like. What they shouldn't do is have an assumption that any genre they don't read is rubbish. So it's about those conversations about what we all love and what we can all take from each other. The literary establishment have despised genre fiction for decades, so it's a bit of a pity if we would have a little argument between ourselves rather than celebrate or what we all do.
You know, as ever, the voice of reason. You know, we thought we might get a fight. We might sort of have you basically... I mean, I'd suggested to Sue North, actually, why not get some giant sumo suits and actually have a sort of battle on that basis, you know?
Well, it would have been an interesting visual spectacular.
Precisely. It's a nice little sort of interlinking of the whole system there. A reminder, of course, the Science Fiction and Fantasy panel this coming Friday, the 9th of May, 7:15 p.m. It's at the Lincoln Drill Hall. Go on, John, sell it to us. Why is this a number one event this Friday, 9th of May, 7:15 p.m.?
I think one of the great things about science fiction and fantasy is that it is a broad church. That, you know, we're discussing crime fiction and historical fiction together on Saturday, and both of those can work within SF and fantasy. So can romance, so can thrillers. So it can be many, many different things. And of course, it's interesting in that you're dealing with a world which isn't ours, which isn't the world where you go out to Asda and buy a loaf of bread. So the author has to create that world, that reality, at the same time as telling the story and giving you fascinating characters. And all of that is one of the main reasons, one of the many reasons, that I've loved both of those genres since I was a teenager.
Any thoughts, Richard?
No, I just agree that basically go out and read whatever you like, but read as much as you can and enjoy as much as you can, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sue North?
I've always had that view. It doesn't matter what you're reading, as long as you're reading something. I must just stick in a little plug for John, actually, that he perhaps won't do himself. He's got a couple of spaces, I understand,
no.
left on his writer's surgery.
I thought they'd all have got my
I
words.
I know. There's at least one left, which is really unusual, and we think that people are just assuming now at this late stage
exactly.
it's
well,
full
I did.
Up. But
yes.
if you want some advice on your science fiction novel, get in touch and come and have a one-to-one chat with John about it. That's on Saturday.
That's almost as shocking as the news that people on another radio station up the hill, I believe, with the initials B or something, and so you're actually battling over who's going to take William Sitwell off to lunch and where in Lincoln are they going
yes.
to take him to lunch as well. It's
my job.
Well, there we are.
And that's the reason I can't go to see Irving Finkel, because it's on at the same time. I'm doing the one-to-ones at the same time.
The sacrifice that John Jarrell actually makes as one of the Lincoln-inspired patrons, quite phenomenal. Holly, any final thoughts? No, there we are. That's it. No. Yeah, the telepathic views coming through there. You've been listening
to it. I'm digesting it all.
Exactly. Inspired on Air Volume 5. It's pretty much come to an end at this particular moment in time. But of course, there's so much more goodies to come through. Inspired on Air tomorrow. Mega sort of scenario with the big BG breakfast tweet up. Heaps of other good things there. As we mentioned, you can go to lincolninspired.co.uk and get all sorts of magical things from that point of view. Richard, have you enjoyed your time on the show?
I have, yes, very much.
We'll see you again on another show now.
Definitely,
though.
Yes.
Excellent. Fantastic stuff there. So thanks to Ray Piper, a co-artistic director of the Chantry Dance Company. Thanks to Geoff Gainey for the earlier piece we did back at the Bookstart Cafe. And to Holly Parker, to Sue North, who works so hard, it's unbelievable. She's here in the end, that's the important thing. And, of course, John Jarrell. And yourself, dear listener, as well as, of course, Landships of Lincoln's very own author, Richard Pullen. That's pretty much a wrap for Inspired On Air Volume 5. You might have been listening to it live, in which case, fantastic. More good stuff coming up on Siren 107.3 FM. You might have been listening to it again or downloading it. You can do all sorts of things. Imagine you've got a whole routine. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Cheerio.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.